Good to see everyone tonight, and we welcome you to our gospel meeting here at Hebron. It's family night, and we have a special testimony. We're looking forward to that later in the service. We're going to worship the Lord as we sing 203. We don't have the hymn books, but hopefully you'll be able to see it here behind me. Maybe get the lights off and make it as sharp as we can for you. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed by guilt within. Mercy, I did implore. We keep our seats. Sing the third verse again, and we're very glad to have our brother Chris Killen tonight in the meeting. And during the singing of this verse, we'll ask Chris to come to this microphone here and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. When the waves of sorrow roll, when I am in distress. And many times we've been there when the waves of sorrow have rolled round about us, and we've been in that place that can be described as distress. Thank God for that time. Especially for the believer, Jesus takes my hand in his, ever he loves to bless. Let's sing this third verse again.
Let's just unite our hearts together in prayer now. Just taking time to bow before the Lord in prayer. Taking these moments to still our hearts. The Word of God reminds us to be still and know that I am God. And we just take these moments to wait before the Lord. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, it is in the precious and worthy name of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, that we approach and draw nigh to thee. I want to thank thee, O God, tonight for the grounds of our legal acceptance, that we can approach God this evening on the merits of Christ our Saviour. We thank you, Lord, tonight for the rent veil, the shed blood. We praise thee tonight that it is well with our soul. We who one time were afar off have been made nigh by the blood of Christ. And Lord, it has been already a wonderful testimony just to be able to sing with assurance that the love of God has lifted us. We thank thee, Lord, for setting thy love upon us. Lord, when we consider ourselves just worms of the earth, Lord, we have to confess that we do not deserve the very least of thy mercies. And yet, Lord, thou hast been pleased to love us with an everlasting love. And therefore, with loving kindness, hast thou drawn us. Lord, we thank thee tonight for that love manifest in the person and work of the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. We praise that he loved us so much that he went all the way to the cross, there to lay down his life, a ransom for the many. We who had sinned against thee, broken thy laws, violated thy commandments, deserve wrath and judgment, and yet we thank thee for the one who came as our substitute, died in our place, and set his love upon us. And Lord, we're humbled tonight in the house of God. I want to thank thee for all that Christ means to us. Lord, help us to ever be a thankful and a praising people. Never let there be a day but that we lift our hearts in an anthem of praise and worship. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Lord, we want to praise thee for thy goodness toward us throughout this day, even a week that has gone into eternity. And we pray, Lord, that it will please thee to speak to each and every one who is gathered, saint and sinner alike. Grant that there will be a word in the gospel. Lord, we've heard that message already. We've been singing about that message, the love of Christ for fallen man. And, oh God, our Father, we pray that in all that we say and do, that the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified. Bless thy servant, Reverend Park, as he leads the meeting. And, Lord, that you'll grant to him the leading of the Holy Ghost. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bless our brother Matthew as he would soon stand to tell what the Lord has done. We pray that he will be able to relate that story of saving grace by thy help and by thy grace. Lord, speak to us all afresh. Lord, we are but just sinners saved by the grace of God. We thank thee, Lord, that there is mercy there. There is grace. And, O God, for any tonight who are not converted, that this very night that they would look away to Calvary. Bless thy child. Anyone who will take part, we pray that in everything that's said and done, much will be made of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not unmindful of those who can't join with us, the aged, the sick, the infirm, and those who perhaps tonight are walking the valley of tears. Bless those that mourn. Comfort their hearts. Lord, we pray for thy people. Thou hast taught us in thy word to pray one for another. and Lord, to so fulfill the law of Christ. Let me pray, Lord, that you'll bless the church and our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and grant grace and help in time of need. Bless all of our missionaries. Continue to pour out of thy Spirit. And our Father, we pray that in answer to prayer this evening, thou wilt glorify, magnify, exalt, and extol the blessed and the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask these things in his all precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. Not too sure where those little sounds were coming from the speakers, obviously, but maybe it's one of the microphones got a loose connection, or a little virus or something has gone into it. Can I bid you welcome tonight in the Saviour's name, again, to the house of God here at Hebron. We have some visitors with us. I know some are here because Matthew's giving his testimony, and to you we give a very warm word of welcome. And then to those that are listening in on the internet, on either Sermon Audio or Facebook, welcome in the great name of the Saviour. Now, some announcements we want to run through as quickly as we can. Thursday night is the midweek meeting here as we come for Bible study and prayer. And last Thursday we began a little series on hindrances to prayer. And we want to continue with that over the next little while. The Youth Council is having a special meeting on Friday night, and this is going to be broadcast live on the Youth Council Facebook page. And singing is the Brown family and also Miss Katie Baxter. There's a word of testimony from our brother Ryan Moore, one of our committee men and one of our youth leaders, and the Reverend David Brown, the president of the Youth Council, will be preaching. So look them up on Facebook, FPC Youth Council, and tune in. Let's Lord's Day begins with prayer. Very glad to be able to announce that bit by bit we're getting back to some kind of normality, and we've opened up the prayer meeting on a Sunday morning at 8 o'clock as we come to seek the Lord. And that began this morning, and we had a really great time together at the throne of grace. The worship service, 12 noon, we began a series this morning in the Gospel of Mark, and we want to continue with that over the next while. On Sunday night at 7, we're having a valedictory service. Now that means it's a time to send forth our students back to Bible college. And we're thinking of Jonathan Story and David McCauley, and then a new student going in, Greg Gibson. And we'll be bringing a suitable word, God willing, to encourage these young people, and I hope to challenge the congregation. We thank you for your tithes and offerings. We don't lift any offering during the services now. There's a basket at the door if you want to give to the Lord's work. Do remember, on the 27th of September at 7 o'clock, we're having a sending forth service for Alejandro and Vanessa Bernabeu. And they're going to Spain. They've been living here in Northern Ireland for 6 years. Is Alejandro here tonight? Put your hand up wherever you are. Oh, you're right there at the back. Couldn't see you for the press, for all the people that are in front of you. But Alejandro is originally from Spain. His mother was originally from here, of course, and she married a Spanish pastor. And he has trained for the ministry. He's come through college. He'll be graduating in the near future and going to Cortecas Nuevas to be the pastor of that congregation. So we're having this special night to send him forth with the blessing of the congregation to the Lord's work in Spain. Friday the 2nd of October, our youth fellowship will recommence. Lord's Day the 4th of October, our Bible class and Sunday school will recommence. And meantime, we'd like to encourage our children and young people to listen in to the Mission Board Bible Corner. And that will be going out every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock on our website. That's the Mission Board website. Whitby College of the Bible is having their graduation service on the 14th of September. That's tomorrow week. It'll take place in the Martyrs Memorial. Sadly, this year it's by invitation only because of the social distancing that needs to take place in services. But it will be live streamed on Sermon Audio. You can listen in that night, and Alejandro will be graduating along with the other fourth-year students who have completed their course. Tuesday, the 3rd of November, the Youth Challenge will then get underway. Want to get the Sunday school back first for a month, and then the other children's work on the Tuesday night in the month of November. Mentioned this morning about our brother Alejandro, or Alex. He has finished now with home mission. He did that for the church here, doing visitation with the seniors of the church and also going out on evangelism door to door. And that for him ended last Friday. The Lord's Day, the 27th of September at 7 o'clock, we're having a sending forth service for Alejandro and his wife Vanessa and their family. And then a month later, just over a month later, on the 1st of November, a welcome service in Cortegas Nuevas in Spain. So I want you to keep that in mind. In between times, he will be taking his furniture over to Spain. The Reverend Lyle Boyd's furniture will be coming back to Northern Ireland. And then Alejandro will probably have to isolate for 2 weeks or quarantine for 2 weeks coming back. I want you to keep these things in mind and pray over our brother going to the land of Spain to be a pastor there. To the opportunity, congratulate Sam and Netta on 50 years of married life. They were away this morning, but I'm not sure if they're back with us tonight. Have they made it back? Maybe they're listening in, but 50 years is a long time, a good time to be together, and we do rejoice with them reaching this milestone. We've had a number of container projects sending out clothes especially, and furniture and bedding, things that are going to be helpful for the poor and the needy over in other countries, and we have sent these containers to Romania, and I want to thank those that came in last week for 2 nights to get the container packed. It's a 40-foot container, and it's packed almost to the door. There's just a little bit of space left. There's a few items to come up from another congregation, and we'll try to get those in as well. But thank you for your help. We will send this out as soon as we can in the near future when the finance is there to do that. We've been asking you to pray for the work in India. We have a student at our Bible college called Dipankar Nandi, and he's an excellent young man, and he's studying with our college at this time. But he's also doing outreach work, pastors' conferences, and this burden that he's had for the 70 orphan children. He was able to visit some of these children in the past week, and that's a project that we've taken on board, and for the next couple of years at least, we hope to be able to feed these children, 70 of them, week by week. The girl on the left is Banjo Jani. She's 13 years old. She's one of the 70 orphans, and she has been suffering from degenerative acute arthritis, which has limited her movements. Her local guardians left her to die due to her condition, and she was rescued by the team, and she now stays with believers. So we're glad to see this young lady. She was the very first orphan to receive the food package. I remember that. Over in India, there's a number that have come alongside to help our brother Dipankar. These are helpers in the work. We're speaking about that this morning. Missionaries, there's a doctor there as well. And we do trust that God will guide them in these days as they seek to maintain a testimony. We've had the privilege of preaching in Pakistan over the past 14 or 15 weeks. Every Sunday, we link up with a lady who interprets for us. And we preach to these tribal people. Most of them are Hindu. Some of them are Muslim. And this is another lady that we help out. And she's got a little room rented so that they can have women's meetings and Sunday school. And there is a pastor who comes in to teach the Word of God on a weekly basis as well. This was this morning, the part of the congregation that I was able to speak to, some of the young people and the adults and the children then who were fed afterwards. We made an appeal this morning for baby clothes. I think we have that appeal met. Some baby boy clothes is needed for a girl from Deborah House who's had this little baby 5 weeks ago. And we're glad we're able to send things like this over to help. Now, these are all the announcements. We're going to worship God again as we sing 334. Remember the latest editions of the Vision magazine. These are free copies to every family. They're on the desk as you leave. Please pick up the July and the September edition. If you subscribe to The Current, this is by order, so it's also there for those individuals who receive it. We do welcome back, of course, those that have been not with us for a little time. Some folks have come back to church today. They've been shielding, they've been keeping themselves safe, and we were delighted to see them in the house of God this day already. It was down at the feet of Jesus, oh, the happy, happy day, that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away. And just in a few minutes' time, Matthew's going to give his testimony. Let me tell the old, old story of his grace so full and free, for I feel like giving him the glory for his wondrous love to me. And that's what Matthew's going to do. He's going to tell the old story of the grace of God, full and free, that he has received as the Lord is glorified in this testimony tonight. Visited with us at the missionary weekend back in January, and we're glad that he's able to come back this evening and give a personal word of testimony. So Matthew, on behalf of the congregation here and those that have gathered, we bid you welcome to Hebron tonight in the Saviour's name, and we look forward to this testimony. We pray earnestly that it will be helpful, beneficial to all of us that are here, that we'll feel the burden, the challenge of what he has to say. Know in our hearts that the Lord is able. He's able to do great things. He's able to do all things, and to do them for his own glory and for your good. And so we're going to loose you and let you go, Matthew, as you come with the prayers of the congregation. Thank you.
If you have your Bible with you this evening, folks, I'd like to invite you to turn to the Old Testament, please, the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, please, and the chapter 24. As we're turning in our Bibles to a few wee verses that I would like to read to you, as I would just like to say how honoured and privileged I am being here with you in Ballymoney tonight. I would like to thank your pastor, the committee men, the session, and yourselves as a congregation. It really is a true blessing to be here. Also for those that's visiting along with us this evening, I give you a special, sincere word of welcome. There's a few visitors with us here, and Chris and myself work very closely with a man called Lloyd, and unfortunately Lloyd passed away a very short time ago, and his father and his fiancée and the fiancée's mother is here tonight, and I can't say how glad and humbled that yous are here tonight. So I just pray that yous will find some peace and comfort through the few words that I have to say, and I'm praying for yous, and I love yous. So Joshua chapter 24, please, and we're going to read from the verse 14, just going to read two verses. Verse 14 and the chapter 24. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And we do know that the Lord will add his blessing to his precious word. I tend to use this passage of scripture quite a lot whenever I'm sharing my testimony. I believe it's very relatable, not just to me, but to every single person sitting here tonight, whether it's from the youngest right to the very oldest. I think it's fair to say that what we have just read here, and the words that's in these two verses, that life, very simply, is all about choices, isn't it? We make good choices in life, or, like myself previously, you made a lot of bad choices. But tonight I'm here to tell you, to tell everybody here, that the most important choice that you will have to make in your life is whether to accept Jesus as your own and personal Saviour, come to him, recognising that you're a sinner, recognising that you need the Saviour to get to heaven. And can I encourage anybody that hasn't made that most important choice that you'll ever make in your life, let me rest assure you, when you accept the Lord as your Saviour and ask him into your heart and ask him to forgive you of your sins, that will be the best choice. And not only that, it will be the most important choice that you'll ever make in your whole entire life. Not only do you need to make that most important choice in your life, but you need to see a change in somebody's life. You know, I think if I was standing here sharing my testimony tonight, being an ex-drug addict and still living a double life, so to speak, smoking, drinking, taking drugs, it wouldn't really be a good story for Matthew, would it be, if I was still continuing to do what I used to do? So whenever you make that most important choice in your life, you need to see that change. You need to see that fruit in somebody's life. You know, the Bible tells us that whenever you accept Jesus as your Saviour, that all things become new, and the old things are passed away. You become a new creature whenever you accept Jesus into your life. He changes you from the inside out, and it should get to be where somebody could say, there's a man, there's a woman, there's a wee boy, there's a wee girl, and there's something different about them because they've accepted Jesus into their heart. They made that choice. Then you see that change. Thirdly, may I add, not only do you need to make that choice, not only do you need to see that change, but you need to be committed to the things of God. You can't be half in for God and half in for the world. I've tried it, more than once, and it does not work. Whenever you make that choice, whenever you make that change, whenever you see that change, you need to be all in, or you need to be all out. See, whenever you go all in, the Lord will truly bless you for it, for serving Him and for doing the right thing. So, to start off my story, very simply, I'm going to tell you what my life was like as a young boy, what it was like growing up, what it was like as a teenager working, and then now, what my life is like now, nearly the last 3 years. So, as a young boy, I was born in Randallstown. I lived in Randallstown. I attended Randallstown Central Primary School as a young boy. And not to go into personal detail, but to touch the surface, as a young boy and even attending primary school, life was pretty tough growing up at times. There was certain events happened in my life where my mother and father separated at a very young age, and I think it goes without saying that was tough when you were growing up. So there was things that got happened in my life, and by the way, there's things that I'll tell you that happened in my life, there's events that I'll tell you, and I'm not making an excuse, I'm only trying to give you a visual appearance of what the life of Matthew was like. So I struggled all throughout primary school, and by the age of 12, say, if you take primary school age, I was about P7, got into first year at the time, and at the age of 12, I remember going to my local GP practice, and I was feeling very down, I was feeling very depressed at the time, and my doctor said that I was the youngest person ever to be prescribed antidepressants. I was taking Prozac, a drug called Prozac, as a 12-year-old boy, and I was on antidepressants all of my life until I went away and got myself sorted out nearly 3 years ago. There was also another event that took place in my life. At the age of 12, taking antidepressants, it was actually so bad, my mental state was so bad at the time, where I was actually, my family thought that, you know, it was the best thing for me at the time. I was placed in a hospital in Belfast called Foster Green, and that's where I was as a 12-year-old boy. And I can tell you, without getting into a lot of detail, it really wasn't a very nice place to be in at that time. Thankfully, I didn't have to spend too long there. My family was able to get me out of that hospital, and I attended Colibacky High School in first year. Just to pause there a wee minute, I actually must tell you about my church background. I did have a church background growing up. As a young boy, my granny and my granda, who I'm very thankful for, they attended Randallstown Free Presbyterian Church. I went to Sunday school, I went to the youth fellowship, I went to the Friday night meetings, just like any general young boy or girl that would attend the meetings in their church. And would you believe it or not, I actually made a profession as a young boy to trust in the Lord as my own and my personal saviour. But unfortunately, as I actually said to Mr. Park before the meeting tonight, unfortunately, whenever I was old enough and big enough, in my own eyes, what did Matthew do? But I made the choice of not wanting to attend church. It wasn't interesting. It was boring. It was something I didn't want to do anymore. I'm just being really honest with you and what I thought and what my own and personal opinion was. In my own eyes, not in God's eyes, in my own eyes. So we'll go back to the story of being in first year in high school. There was another event that took place in my life, bullying. I got bullied for a period of time in high school, and it got so bad where I actually had to change high schools. Now, I actually told you that I attended Colibacky in first year. I apologise, it was actually Park Hall, a school in Antrim that I attended in first year, but unfortunately the bullying and stuff had got so bad that I was very depressed, I was in a very bad mental state, and I actually didn't go to that school anymore. So then I made the transition to Colibacky High School in second year. The bullying still continued, but I have to highlight that there was something else that continued in my life. Now you can imagine, as a young boy, going to the meetings, going to church, making a profession to get saved, but there was never any testimony to go along with it. There was never any fruit, there was never any change in my life to say Matthew was living the Christian life to the best of his ability. That had never happened in my life. And I started smoking. That was really the first thing that occurred in my life. A general thing that you hear of people doing whenever they're at high school. It's a huge transition for any child, for any parent, their children going from primary school to high school. And unfortunately, it's a big bad world out there, as you all know yourselves. And I started smoking a cigarette. It was pretty innocent, really, come to think about it. I never thought it would lead to anything else. Then it was cannabis, something a wee bit stronger. The temptation, the curiosity started getting a wee bit more. Started smoking a bit of cannabis along with smoking cigarettes. And then I started drinking. This was about second year of high school. And then at school, I started indulging in harder drugs. I started experimenting in the likes of ecstasy, the likes of speed, drugs like this here. So you could say, Matthew, things weren't going too well, but to be honest, I'm not really touching the surface even yet. So this was what my life was like in high school. To be honest with you, I had no interest in attending high school. In fact, I tried to skive my exams at school because I was too busy either smoking dope down the back entry of the school or something. I was just up to all the mischief of the day and I had no interest. One thing I do have to say is I always had a good work ethic to work, and I worked on farms whenever I was younger, still at school. I'd done milking, relief milking, things like that, driving tractors. I worked in car washes. I worked in a lorry dismantling yard. So I was always interested in working. I always was never afraid to get my hands dirty. I loved working because you could say it was only me and my mum and my sister at home. It was a great way to have a pound or two if my mum ever needed to lend the money. And it was very good. It was very humble. It kept you humble. So it did. Now, I landed my first job whenever I was still at school, and it was a petrol station and a hockle. And very simply, I'm not going to beat around the bush, I get sacked from that job. And you'll ask, well, Matthew, why did you get sacked? What did you do? And very simply, I stole a top-up for my mobile phone out of that shop. And there's a verse in the Bible that comes to mind that says, be sure your sin will find you out. Even if you think you've got away with something, there's always a price to pay, isn't there? You see, the devil, he'll offer you sinful pleasures and the pleasure of the world. But what does he do? He always hides the price tag. There's always a price to pay, no matter how small, no matter how big it is. Even though I knew what I'd done, I was actually, believe it or not, I was very emotional whenever I got lost this job, my first proper job, and I was out of work for a period of time. And this is where the story starts to unravel in my story. And my uncle, who is a joiner by trade, it was around 2007 and the recession had hit our wee country here quite bad at the time. So he went to my granddad and told him what he would like to do. He wanted to start up a business venture. So my uncle then opened up a bodybuilding gym in Ballymena. It was just opposite the town hall there in Ballymena. And I started working in that gym. It was only part-time. I worked for a period of about 6 months between the petrol station and starting to work in the gym. And that, folks, is how my addiction started. You say, Matthew, well, what do you mean by that? Let me explain a wee bit more to you. Whenever I started working in the gym part-time, you can imagine a bodybuilding gym. There's worldly music. There's anabolic steroids. Very worldly environment, isn't it? So I found myself very innocent, very naive, very stupid, and I got introduced to the drug that I was addicted to, and that drug was cocaine. And like addiction and like sin at the start, it's always pleasurable at the start. It's always fun. You can take it or leave it. It's not an issue in your life. You're in denial. You say, well, I don't have a problem. I'm still going to my work every day. I still have money in my pocket. Things is quite good. And that's what I thought. And for about the first 3 years, I was able to go out at the weekends, take it socially, take it or leave it. And then eventually it started getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. One of the things was, I actually started stealing off my own uncle to feed my drug habit. That's what I started doing. And I'm ashamed to stand here and tell you that tonight, but that's what addiction does. It's not the person, it's the drugs that changes the person. It wasn't Matthew. Matthew never would have done that before. But this is the depths and despair that I was starting to go down whenever I was still early in my addiction. And this kind of brings us up to the summer of June 2015, where being in the worldly scene of the gym, I started like doing doorman in pubs and clubs occasionally. I didn't do it all the time, and started running about with people, and I owed money for drugs at the time, and I get lured to this house because I had owed money for drugs, and I went into that house that night. Before I went into the house, it was a summer's evening. It was about this light outside. It was kind of just getting dark. The blinds were closed in the house. I knocked the door. I went into the house, and I hadn't an inkling anything was going to happen. And the next thing all I can mind was, I must have lost consciousness. I woke up on the floor, and this person was violently beating at me. And I can honestly say, in a man's point of view, my humility, my dignity, was totally stripped bare of me that evening in that house. I was scared for my life. I was that far by myself, I don't even know if I cried, to be honest. I can't really remember. But my words to this person was, please stop. You've done enough. Because I can remember looking down at the front of myself, and I had actually urinated myself. I lost control of my bowels. And you would say, Matthew, after that there happened, after that incident occurred, surely that would be enough for you to make that choice and to change once and for all. But it wasn't. Why? Because I still enjoyed what I was doing. The result of that incident in that house that night was two broken cheekbones, a fractured eye socket. I've been left with a permanent numbness to my face. I've got a scar on my eyebrow. I've got plates in my face. So I have a permanent reminder of sin in my life. My addiction continued for somewhat 3 years later. And I can honestly say this was getting to the stage where it was getting deep and deeper. Do you know what I'm saying? From stealing money, a wee bit of money sometimes off my uncle to feed my habit, to getting beat up. But it went deeper again. I had money for nothing. I always remember my mother, and she says to me, Matthew, you haven't even enough money, son, to buy yourself a pair of socks. And that was the truth. I would have went without food if I knew that I was going to get another bag of cocaine. It came first in my life. Not me, not my family, not church, not God, but the drug. That came first. That's the power of addiction on somebody's life. And the thing about addiction, it just wasn't affecting me as a person. It affected my family big time. You know, my granny and granda, they're elderly people. They're going into their 80th year this year, the ones who took me to church. And they seen their own grandson hopelessly addicted to cocaine. I'll never forget it. He turned around and he says to me one night, he says, "Matthew, son," he says, "why would you just not stop this?" I says, "Granda," I says, "I can't. I says, I've a problem. And I'm addicted. I'm an addict." And I was sobbing, crying whenever I was saying this, because I knew I had a problem. It got to the stage where my uncle said to me, he says, "Matthew, I'm sorry." He says, "I can't do this anymore." He says, "I'm going to have to let you go." Because they had caught me telling lies again. So that's what I used to do a lot. Was I told lies. And I manipulated. And I let on that I was changing. But that change for me didn't come yet. And I can honestly say that was the turning point in my life, whenever I had my own uncle looking at me in the face, making eye contact with me. And I couldn't even look the man in the eye, because I seen the hurt, I seen the disgust, and I seen the anger in his face, and I knew what I'd done. And that's the thing, whenever I was in my addiction, I was always fully aware of what I was doing. I knew the people I was hurting. We all know the people we hurt whenever we were in addiction or somebody that's in addiction. You always know what you're doing. But the fact of the matter is, and the reality is, you can't help it because you have a stronghold in your life. Now, I can honestly say whenever my addiction was still in place, whenever my uncle sacked me from a job, the money supply was cut for the drugs. So that was a big thing for me. I had no money anymore to feed my habit. But I can remember, and our brother Chris Killen has a Facebook page called The Answer to Addiction. And I can honestly, genuinely say I was seeking and I was searching for help at the time. I was still highly addicted. And I can remember on the laptop, and Chris was advertising a meeting. And there was another man sharing his testimony of how a relationship with the Lord had set him free from his addiction. And I can just remember the tears rolling down both sides of my face, because I seen the joy that they had. I seen the peace. I seen it in their countenance. I knew that it was real. I knew that it wasn't something that was fake or a part-time thing. I knew it was eternal, what they had. And I said to myself, I want that, but how do I get to that stage? Because I was still stuck being an addict. And my aunt, who was a Sunday school teacher in my church in Randallstown, she was totally unaware that I was watching these videos on Facebook at the time. And she said to my family, she said, "I'm going to ring a man here. I know him really well. And I think he could maybe help our Matthew." And that man was Chris Killen. And she was totally unaware that I was watching these videos. And that's how I could see and know that the hand of God was in my life. His grace and his mercy was upon me. And Chris came out, I'll never forget it. Chris will remember it very well too. It was a Sunday night, he came out after church. And to put it very simply, I was a mess. Total mess. I was broken. Oftentimes, tell people whenever I share my testimony is, the best way to describe it to you is I went to bed at night and I didn't want to wake up in the morning. That's how bad it was. I was broken. I came to the end of myself. And my aunt said to me a few months previous, one of my aunts, she says, "Matthew, you need help. You need to get away somewhere."
But I still wasn't ready. I was still in denial. But Chris knew whenever he came out and seen me this night, I was willing to do whatever it took to get myself sorted. I knew what I needed. I knew that I needed a relationship with God. I knew that whenever I made that profession as a young boy, I was never going to be happy in my backslidden state. And I knew the best thing for me was to go into a Christian men's home where it could have an opportunity to get away from the outside world and have an opportunity to not only get free from my addiction, but let's not forget here, get a relationship with God. And I was destined to go to the men's home in Dublin, New Hope in Dublin, in Tala. And this was December 2017. But God had other plans. And I met another group of men who are involved in a charity. And they wanted to help me. And I remember getting a phone call. I was sitting in the kitchen with my mum. And it was Chris. And he says, "How would you feel about going to America?" I says, "America?" Now, bear in mind, I'm from Randallstown. I don't get out much. I never travelled on my own. That was very scary. But my words to Chris was, "When do I go?" Again, oftentimes I tell people I was so desperate, and I maybe exaggerate a wee bit. No, well, maybe I don't. As I would have went to China to get help. That's how desperate, that's how broken that I was. I flew out to the Paul Kingsbury School of Discipleship in Rockford, Illinois, in Chicago, on the 20th of December 2017. And I can remember being told, "Matthew, you're going to be away for Christmas." I says, "I couldn't care less." I says, "What use am I, the state I'm in?" So I went away. I was away for Christmas. Didn't bother me one bit, to be honest with you, because I knew what I was going there for. And that very first night I was there, I got unpacked, I got into my room, and I can remember, and I just cried my heart out, and I just fully surrendered my life to God, which is a very hard thing to do. I asked Him to forgive me, and I can honestly say, from the time I done that, I've never looked back since. It was a 6-month programme. There was about 40 men in the programme. You can imagine living with 40 men. It wasn't the easiest at times. But it taught me that the basis of the home is it teaches you how to have a walking relationship with Jesus. That's what it teaches you. And that's the only thing that could help me, or could help anybody here tonight, is to know the Lord. Do you know the Lord tonight? I was panicking about going home, to be honest. I said to myself, I've done well. I've got a relationship with the Lord, finally. But what am I going to do whenever I get home? So I prayed about it. And cut the long story short, I ended up working, volunteering at the men's home in Dublin, the place where I was originally destined to go. And I served down there for 10 months. So I was home for a couple of weeks, back to Randallstown, and I made the trip down to Tala. Again, it was a very scary prospect. I had never... It was a new chapter, if you like. It was a new beginning in my life, and I knew I was in God's will, and I was happy to go along with it. And it was a great experience. It humbled me. It was great to be on the other receiving end of helping other people, because that's what it's all about, to have the love of Jesus inside us, for people to see Jesus through you, the compassion for people to help others. And my testimony has now changed again. I worked in the men's home for, as I say, 10 months, nearly a year, and I got offered a full-time job back up home in Antrim, and I've now been working that full-time job. It'll be a year past on the 27th of May. So it's a year. I'm now back working full time. I became a member of my church in Randallstown. I'm involved in the children's work. Lord willing, I'm going to become a Sunday school teacher. And do you want to know what? It even amazes me standing here sharing it with you again, how much my life has changed. And not even 3 years. And I'm very honoured and privileged. The most thing that I want is to serve God with my life. I just want to be used. I want to help people. I thank the Lord that I have an opportunity to go out and help Chris as much as possible. I don't often get out to do it as much as I should with my full-time job and being involved with my own church. But I tell you, it keeps you humble. And whenever you're out and you're visiting families, visiting the people that's affected, it just brings you back to the way you once were. And I pray that I never ever lose that. And my prayer, even for tonight, this Friday night, is that God will continue to use me in whatever way he sees fit. I don't know what the future holds for me, so I would earnestly appreciate your prayers for the Lord to lead and direct and guide me in whatever it may be, whether it be full-time employment, ministry, I don't know. But I'm open to his will in my life, and I know that the season that I'm in my life at the minute, I know that I'm in the centre of God's will. I'm at peace. I'm happy. I'm finally content. I've no more misery. I can go to bed at night and I can hardly get up in the morning. That's the change. And I'm just so thankful for what the Lord has done in my life, for the people that he has placed in my life, for my family, for my friends. And I'm thankful for you for listening tonight. I do hope that you can take some sense of comfort from it. May the Lord bless you all, preacher.
For sharing your testimony. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. What he's done for Matthew, he can do for you. You may not have had the life that Matthew has spoken about tonight, but if you are without Christ, you're without hope, and you certainly need the Lord. We're going to bow together in prayer. Seek the Lord tonight. Because of coronavirus, we don't shake hands, but I'm sure Matthew's happy to go down and stand somewhere in the background there as you leave. Maybe that there are some folks here tonight you'd like to talk to him or talk to Chris. These men are here to help you. But you need the Saviour. And you need to get to that place where you trust him. Father, we thank thee that salvation is of the Lord. We know that thou art able to save, and save to the uttermost all who come. We thank thee for the triumph of divine grace, the grace of God that seeks us out and brings us to Christ, shows us our need, brings us to the place where we sense and we feel our sin and our guilt before God. Having broken your laws and your commandments, and being sinners in your sight, but that grace that brings the light of the gospel to a darkened mind and heart, and shows us that there is a Saviour from all sin. We pray that there will be light given tonight. There are those with us here in the meeting and listening in on the internet, and they're not saved, and they need the Lord. We pray that you will bring them face to face with Jesus Christ, the Saviour of men. And may they flee to him, know what it is to obtain pardon and peace with God, Lord, you're able to do these things. Bless the testimony that we've heard tonight. We pray that you will remember Matthew in his future. We thank thee that he has that confidence that he's in the centre of God's will. And as he seeks out that will in the coming days, leaving himself open to the will of God for his life, guide him continually. Show him what the Lord would have him to do. Bring us all to that place who know Christ, to pray the prayer that Saul of Tarsus prayed, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord will direct our way. And so speak on as this meeting now comes to an end. Speak on in our hearts. Whatever the need is among this congregation tonight, Lord, seek it out and bring help and liberty and true conversion for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to thank you for coming to the church tonight, worshiping with us, and you will be asked to leave row by row. So whenever the stewards ask you to do that, you can feel at liberty to leave. Thank you. Matthew, welcome. If there's any tonight and you do want to speak to these men, just indicate that, and you'll be able to have a wee chat afterwards.